fog. I can't see around corners. Come on, come on. Where is that dirt road? Wait a minute, I passed it. Well, maybe I can make a U-turn. No, I can't make it. I'm going to go through the guardrail. No, the lake. I'm going to go into the lake. I can't get out. My legs. I'm pinned. I can't get out. I can't get out. I'm going to drown. No. Stop settling. I can breathe. There's a pocket of air trapped in here. But my legs. Broken. They've got to be broken. No use. I can't make it. What do they say? Relax. Don't use up all the air. Why? Nobody saw me go off the road. Nobody knows I'm down here. They'll never find me. They'll never find me!
Before you expend too much sympathy on the man trapped in the submerged car, let me give you his credentials. His name is Philip Morgan, a partner in the firm of Doyle Franklin Associates. The car he's just driven off Rocky Springs Road into the lake belongs to Doyle Franklin, but Mr. Franklin won't care that his partner wrecked it because Doyle Franklin is dead, killed by Philip Morgan just a few hundred feet away from the spot in Loon Lake, where the ripples are now subsiding over the sunken car. Looks as if fate had meted out justice rather neatly, doesn't it? Franklin's killer now facing a slow and inevitable death himself, trapped in the dark water of a foggy lake. But there's more to the story than that. The Tower Playhouse invites you to return to the chilly darkness of a smashed car hidden under the waters of a mountain lake in a tale we call Confession is Good for the Soul.
No. It's no use trying to get out. My legs are pinned under the dashboard. Besides, if I could get the door open, I'd drown before I could surface. Oh, God, what a way to die. I wonder how long I have. An hour? An hour at the most? Why did I do it? Why couldn't I let well enough alone? I can't believe I stole from Doyle. And I certainly can't believe I killed him. I guess I sealed my own fate from the night Doyle made me his partner.
Boy, Nancy, that's some dinner. Bachelors don't eat as good as a rule.
That's what you get.
Now, what is that supposed to mean?
That's Nancy Franklin for Every Man on Earth Ought to Be Married.
Well, I don't know about that, but I do know you sure picked a good cooker as well as a good looker.
Well, if I can pull you away from the subject of food for a minute, Phil, I'll tell you why I invited you over tonight.
Ta-ta!
Yeah, what's the big mystery, Doyle?
No mystery, Phil. I guess a little advertising agency can't keep many secrets from its accountants, even if you do only come in to do the books once a week. Look, I'll come to the point. Doyle Franklin Associates started small, with just me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you were in from the beginning. You handed me some advice, made me keep notes. You saved me from a lot of stupid mistakes, Phil.
Well, any accountant would have
done
the same.
But the point is, you're not just any accountant. You've done a lot more than just keep my books straight. You've seen us grow. You've kept me from going off the deep end about 12 dozen times. When I wanted to move to bigger offices. When I wanted to buy big ads in trade papers, which I really couldn't afford.
Oh, come on, to the point, Doyle.
Well, okay. What I'm trying to say is, Doyle Franklin Associates is healthier than I ever dreamed we would be in just 2 years of business. And I'd like to make you a partner, Phil. I'll handle the creative end. Bob Reed does the sales. Mel Studebaker is the legal beagle. And you keep us straight with Uncle Sam on the state. Well, what do you think?
I'm actually speechless. But I've got some other clients.
Phase them out. Turn them over to some other accountant. You're going to have your hands full with Doyle Franklin Associates from now on. What do you say?
I say you're one heck of a generous, great guy, and I... Do I get my name on the door?
Okay, partner. Now's as good a time as any to get down to business. I want you to know that I've taken out a fairly large insurance policy on my life, so if anything happened to me, Nancy would be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I'm changing my will so that if I died, you'd be given first option to buy out Nancy's interest in the agency. So she'd have cash and wouldn't be saddled with trying to run the business, and you'd have the agency in your hands.
Hey, now hold on a minute, Doyle. Now, I wish you'd checked with me before. I won't be in a position to buy anyone else for a long time. And what do I know about running an ad agency?
Listen, the way we're going, you're going to have more money than you ever dreamed about. And anyway, you won't have to worry about taking over the agency. Haven't you heard? I'm going to live forever.
The first few weeks as a partner in the Doyle Franklin Agency were like a vacation in a new world for me, and I felt I was beginning to learn something about advertising. The money rolled in, and the books looked good. So good that even my new higher salary seemed sort of anemic by comparison to what Doyle was raking off. Doyle left me alone after a while. He never had much interest in his own books, and now that the pressure was off, he never looked at them. Meanwhile, I did all the billing, posting, made all the deposits, wrote all the checks, so it was easy on the bigger jobs to make out a few checks, a couple of $100 over the actual amount, payable to printing companies, for example, and keep the difference myself. It got easier and easier. I showed payments to dummy firms, which I had set up, on paper, and Doyle never, never checked. I did my best work at night, and Doyle thanked me for being so hard-working and conscientious.
Hey, Phil, still working.
Hmm? Oh, just a couple of entries I wanted to make before the weekend.
Come on, no partner of mine works like a slave on a Friday night.
You go ahead, Doyle, I'll lock up.
Come on, old buddy, knock off for now, you'll go blind.
No, really, I've only got a few more minutes to go and I'll be all finished up.
Boy, you and I are sure two different guys. You should take some time off. Have yourself a fling. Go to Vegas or the Bahamas.
Not this year, Doyle.
Listen, what's it all about if you can't have some fun? Enjoy life.
Just my conservative nature, I guess.
Well, suit yourself. Only don't work too late, buddy. Good night.
That night, I'd been quietly transferring over $3,000 into a dummy account I owned in an out-of-state bank. But I covered my tracks well. Besides, Doyle Franklin Associates were growing so fast, Doyle Franklin never looked back. Everything went like clockwork for me, until that morning when Doyle called me into his office. There was a stranger with an attaché case standing by his desk when I went in. The place reeked of trouble.
Bill, shake hands with Mr. Keith Bergman from the bank.
From the bank?
Right. Keith, this is my accountant, partner, and keeper of the keys, Phil Morgan.
Happy to.
Nice to meet you.
You two have something in common.
Oh?
Yeah, Phil. Keith is an auditor from the bank, and he'll want
to... An auditor? Why do we need auditing, Doyle?
Listen, and I'll tell you. We've got a terrific opportunity to expand. If we can move fast enough into two more key states, we can pick off an account you wouldn't believe. A new imported car, Phil. We can handle their whole regional campaign if we can set up in the rest of the region they'll be into. So I pitched the idea to the bank.
I see. You never mentioned this to me, Doyle. If you had, I'd have been glad to give you...
Well, I didn't mean to cut you out of anything, Phil, but you would have told me to grab some quick capital and set up what we need. Now, Mr. Bergman here is just going to check the books.
It's
just...
It's just standard practice, Mr.
Morgan. I know, I realize, only... Well, I...
The books are okay, aren't they, Phil?
Of course they're okay. They're fine. Come on, Mr. Bergman, this way. Let's get started.
It took Bergman 2 days. He made notes on everything. Although I had been clever, I hadn't counted on an audit. But Bergman plodded on and finally went back to the bank, saying they'd let us know as soon as possible about the loan. It was 10 days later that Doyle came into the office just before noon.
Bill, drop what you're doing and grab your coat.
Well, where are we going?
Like to fish?
Fish? Well, I'm not much of a fisherman.
Oh, this is just too great a day to spend inside. You and I are going up to Loon Lake. Come on. Come on, I've got some fishing gear for you.
We went out to Doyle's big, flashy new car and drove to his house. He picked up his fishing rods, bait box, and some old clothes and drove me past my apartment so I could change. Doyle made small talk on the way into the mountains. There was something on his mind, but he wouldn't talk business. Even when I asked if he had heard from the bank about the loan, he changed the subject. At 4 o'clock, we reached a lovely mountain lake, and he parked down a steep dirt road on a cliff overlooking a short fishing pier where a boat was tied.
You're going to love this, Bill. Watch your steps on this stuff. It's shale. Slide right out from under you. Let's try our luck out here on the pier first. You know about how to hook up your reel and stuff.
Well, as I said, I'm not much of a fisherman.
Funny. You work with a guy as close as I've worked with you, and you figure you know all about him. Then you find out you don't.
What's that supposed to mean?
This line's all snarled around the reel. Here, hold this a second.
Doyle?
I think my boy's been at this stuff. I shouldn't need a follow-up like this.
Hey, Doyle, what were you saying? About your not knowing me. I wish you'd finish what you were starting to say.
I just assumed that you were as big a fishing nut as I am.
Hmm.
I figured you were the kind of guy who jumps into a pair of waders and hits the trout streams whenever the season opens. Goes to show you. You really don't know all you think you know about people. Here, I'll try this.
Hey, wait a minute. I just thought of something, Doyle. I don't even have a fishing line.
You don't? Well, this is a pretty deserted spot. I don't know that anyone will bother us.
Yeah, but all the same, I wouldn't want to get caught in the act.
No, you wouldn't want that, would you?
I mean, fishing without a license.
Sure. That's what I thought you meant. Well, I'm just going to drop a line in and see if there are any big monkers lying around out in the shade here. No, sir, Phil, I admire you for calling to my attention the fact that you haven't got a fishing license. Speaks well for your character.
Doyle, is there something you want to say?
I'm getting a nibble.
Listen, Doyle, I get the feeling you didn't drive me clear up here just to go fishing. If you've got something on your mind, let's hear it.
What do you think's on my mind?
Look, I am not completely stupid. This stuff about never really knowing me and that sarcasm about my character. If something's bothering you about me, I wish you'd put it out in the open.
I think I've got a bite.
Who was it? The bank auditor?
Easy. Easy now. Don't want to lose him.
Doyle, was it the bank? Because if it was, I can tell you that auditor they sent was incompetent. What did he tell you? That I'd been stealing from him?
No, Phil. The auditor didn't tell me a single thing. But you just did.
The auditor didn't?
Nope. The bank phoned yesterday. Said they'd be glad to talk about a loan.
Well, that's great news, then, isn't it? The books looked okay?
Evidently. That surprise you?
No, of course not. I may not be much, Doyle, but I can keep books.
You sure can, Phil. You sure can. You not only keep my books, you keep a set for yourself, too, don't you?
That isn't very funny, Doyle.
I didn't think so either. But that's what's been happening, isn't it? Don't bother denying it. I've seen cash flowing out of my shop for months now, and I finally figured out what you've been doing to me. You're robbing me blind.
Or why I got started.
Why? Because you wanted money, Morgan. Why does any thief steal?
I am not a thief. I mean, it wasn't like that. Listen, you can have it all back. You know me. I'm not a flashy spender. I've still got most of what I took, and you can have it back. And I want you to take it.
Oh, I'll get it back, all right.
And you won't have to prosecute, Doyle. I'll make it up to you.
You bet you'll make it up to me in spades. All right, Phil, let's climb back up to the car. No, you go ahead of me. I'll be watching you. And I brought along something else.
A gun? You gotta be kidding. You brought a gun up here? I don't know you anymore.
Turn around and climb that hill, Morgan. Sure, I brought a gun. When I found out that you'd been stealing from me, how did I know what else you did? So I've got a little program all figured out for you. You're going to sign a confession, which I'll lock up in my safe.
Confession? Why is that necessary? I told you I'd repay all the money.
Well, that's a little insurance policy. This way I figure if you decide to duck out before I get all my money back, I can show your confession to the police. Get what I mean?
Now, listen to me a minute, Doyle. I know you don't trust me now. Okay, I don't deserve to be trusted. But this is my first mistake. Please let me pay you back.
Oh, I will. I will, with interest, buddy boy. I figure 10% would be about right.
10%? How can I do that?
That's your problem. I want all that you stole plus 10% for the use of the money.
But I... How am I going to raise it? Well, all right, never mind. If that's what it takes to keep you from going to the police, then...
Wait a minute, Phil. Who said I'm not going to the police?
You said...
When I get all my money back, plus interest, then I'm going down to the police with your confession and they can have you.
What? Why are you doing this? Isn't the money enough?
Enough! Listen, you leech. Even if you'd stayed honest, you'd be nothing but a leech. Who built my agency into what it is? I did. Who risked his house, car, every cent I could scrape together to put Doyle Franklin Associates on the map? I did. And then who hands you a partnership and a split of the profits? And what do you do but turn around and start stealing from me? You betrayed me. You betrayed my friendship, Nancy's friendship. You're a rotten, chiseling little crook, and I won't take it any longer.
I lay there, my head spinning. I didn't know whether Doyle had gone out of his head or not. I picked myself up, and he reached for me again.
Oh, you coming back for more?
You're out of your mind, Franklin. You've snapped. You're insane.
I've had it with that smart mouth of yours.
I went down again, but I crawled to my feet and lunged at him low. His back was to the cliff. He went over backwards. The gun fell from his hand. His head struck a boulder, and he crumpled, rolled down the cliff, and lay still. I scrambled down to where he lay, his face in the dirt, and his legs and arms twisted. But I knew he was dead. The dust settled, and he was still again. I sat down and tried to think. Then I remembered the gun. I found it and cocked my arm back to throw it into the lake. But then I remembered. What if Nancy knew he had taken it? They'd expect to find it on him. I shoved it in his pocket, and then I sat still. There wasn't a sound. No one had seen or heard us. Suddenly, I knew what I had to do. I fished in Doyle's pockets and found his car keys, and then struggled back up the hill, got in his car, and headed for a cafe and filling station we had passed where there was sure to be a phone. As I drove, my mind became calmer. I began to think clearly. Nobody saw Doyle die. It would look like an accident. Doyle said the bank hadn't found anything wrong with my books, so unless he told Nancy, I might not be found out at all. I could return the money, and everything would be as it was before, if Nancy wasn't wise to it already. I had to find out. It was just getting dusk when I found a gas station and cafe. Tall shadows from the wooded hills were throwing up a curtain of darkness, and a misty fog was rising. I dialed the Franklin's home phone number. And finally, Nancy's cheerful voice answered.
Hello?
Hello, Nancy. This is Phil Morgan.
Oh, hi, Phil. Where are you?
Oh, we're up here at Loon Lake. I'm phoning from the cafe. I guess you knew Doyle took me up here for some fishing.
No, I didn't, but I used to have. Do I expect you two back with a fish surprise?
We won't be back in time for dinner.
Oh, well, fine. Kids and I'll eat then and take in a show or something.
Well, I came up from the lake for some beer, and Doyle wanted me to call you so you wouldn't worry.
Well, that was very nice of you. But when Doyle gets the fishing bug, I'm lucky if I see him in 3 or 4 days. Oh, no, I'm not worried. Listen, when you guys do come back, don't ask me to clean your feet.
Oh, okay. Well, be seeing you, Nancy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Phil. Have a good time.
Okay, so he never told Nancy a thing. I still had to decide what to do about Doyle's body. Over a couple of beers in the cafe, I began to figure out a story. There would be no reason to think Doyle hadn't just fallen from the cliff and died accidentally. I could have returned from making the phone call to Nancy and, yes, found his body. Nancy would testify that I had been miles away from him when it happened. So now all I'd have to do is drive back to the dirt road, find his body, come back here, and report it to the sheriff. Wait. I remembered something. His gun. My fingerprints were all over it. If they ever checked that, that would blow my alibi. I had to get back to his body before someone else found it. Take out his gun, wipe my prints off it, and stick it back in his pocket, and play out my little drama. Seemed as if everything was going my way now. I fought the big car around the steep turns. Fog was getting thicker. Headlights didn't help. It threw up a blinding curtain of light in front of the car whenever I'd hit a dense patch of fog. Out roads. All this fog. I can't see around corners. Come on, come on. Where is that dirt road? Wait a minute, I passed it. Well, maybe I can make a U-turn. No, I can't make it. I'm going to go through the guardrail. No, the lake. I'm going to go into the lake. I can't get out. My legs. I'm pinned. I can't get out. I can't get out. I'm going to drown. Under the surface. So in this last tiny pocket of air, in this last few minutes of my life, I'm writing this out the way it really happened. I found nothing to write on but the white upholstery of the car's ceiling. So someday, when they find the car and my body, they'll know the truth about my taking the money, about the fight, and how Doyle died. I should be settling more water up my chin. What a horrible way. Wait. What's that in the water outside? Light? Flashlight? Someone's out there shining the light through the windshield on my face. But I can't move. Does he see my eyes? Gone. It's gone away. I can't wait. It's too late. It's going to be too late. Oh, please, let him come back. Don't let him think I'm already dead. I feel the car. Who? I did. They're pulling the car. Yes, I'm moving upwards. It's getting lighter. The water's going down. It's getting lighter. Spotlights through the back window. It's as light as day inside. I can see. I can see what I wrote. My confession. Oh, no. How can I get rid of this?
I'll splash water on it. I've got to rub it off. But it won't come off. It's indelible. It doesn't come off. The ink doesn't come off. Maybe I can tear the fabric. No! No! Too weak.
Mister? Mister, you all right? Hey, Sheriff! Sheriff! He's alive! Man, I bet you want half the guy to see us, huh? Hey, look here. What's all that writing on the ceiling of the car?
Saved from death by only inches and seconds, only to face charges of grand theft and murder. Well, manslaughter, at least. The moral to all this? Don't go fishing with somebody you're stealing from, even if you do have a license to fish, not to steal. In our cast tonight, Ted Darnes was Phil Morgan. Don Riley played Doyle Franklin with Pat French as Nancy. Confession is Good for the Soul was a Tower Playhouse presentation, with your writer-director, Jim French, saying good night.